across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, was Susie Moroney's record-breaking swim from Cuba just a front for a cigar-smuggling operation? Mick finds out what else she's hiding in that cage. Also today, Pauline Hanson finally agrees to speak to this program in a frank, many-holds-barred confrontation. We'll meet the animal family, the car surfing cat, the world's most unfortunately named politician. We'll play Radio Gladiators, Prize Dicks, and joining us live to unload the mental briefcase, it's Glenn Robbins. Yes, this and more coming up on the program that's constantly degenerating into a prolonged slanging match, Martin Malloy. That's Savage Garden. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Martin Malloy for a Thursday with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's stunned Dr.
Laughing now,
Mick. Susie Moroney. If I can just turn into Ray Martin for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it Moroney Gate. What's the story?
Well, she's back in troubled waters, Tone. Hammerhead sharks are now the least of her worries as she fends off the growing controversy involving smuggled cigars, yeah, a married Cuban sweetheart, and doubts about the validity of her record.
Oh, what are they saying?
Well, let's start with the cigars, shall we? Five boxes of top-quality Cuban Havana poop sticks were confiscated by Cuban customs officers, yeah, after a search of Moroney's support boat just an hour before her epic swim to Florida. Mm-hmm. The 75 cigars were discovered hidden among clothing owned by members of Moroney's family.
Wow.
No receipts could be produced to prove the cigars had been bought at government-sanctioned outlets.
Yeah.
Oh, lock her up.
Yeah.
Lock her up in her own shark cage and throw away the key. What is going on here? Five boxes of Cuban cigars, Tone. All I can think is she must have wanted them real bad, because
yeah,
she's gone to some pretty dramatic lengths to snaffle them. Hey, you know me, Tone, I like a smoke, right? So I'm not about to cover myself from head to toe in chicken fat and dog paddle from Cuba to Florida in me underderps just to bag a sneaky carton of Winnie Blues. I mean, I'm keen,
yeah,
just not that keen.
That's very keen.
You know, Danny DeVito loves a cigar, but he's yet to whop on the Speedos and roll the arm over. I don't think anyone has. Well, maybe David Duchovny, but at least he's bringing them in one at a time. Don't think for a minute Cuban authorities aren't keen to board and search his togs. What's their problem, Tone? Is she smoking those during the swim, is she?
I don't know.
Do they stop every 50 k's or so for a smoko?
Is that allowed?
I don't know. Would she be allowed to smoke inside the shark cage, or would she have to tread water outside the front of the cage door?
Oh, has Des Renford got an opinion on poop sticks?
I'm sure he has. What, yeah, might I? Winner, Adam? Oh, dear. We had to roll our own. Maybe that Channel 7 logo on her ass was actually a nicotine patch. Who knows? Just get off the poop sticks, Moroney. Maybe, Tone, she was smuggling them for her crafty married Cuban sweetheart.
What?
Have you heard about this bloke?
Sounds a bit seedy.
Well, Susie was stunned to learn that her Cuban date, that country's leading marathon swimmer, Alberto Morjon, who'd written her passionate love letters and squired around the town, was a married love cheat with a four-year-old daughter. Poor. Thank God she stayed inside the cage when they met for dinner. Otherwise, he would have eaten her alive, the cad. You know his problem, this bloke?
Oh, yeah.
He'll try and nail anything covered in chicken fat. He's a disgrace. If he'd had his way, he would have had his greasy paws all over that Seven logo. To him, it was a target. He'd even bought her, do you know this, Tony? He'd bought her sexy lingerie.
Did he?
With a Seven logo on the book.
Oh, that's me, right.
Yeah. Trying to get into her good books. Susie, when she found out about his marriage, gave him the arse immediately and was unavailable for comment on the matter last night as she was sleeping soundly after the swim.
Yeah.
Still in the cage, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know how they get her to sleep? They throw a tarp over the cage. No, I got the idea from a pet shop.
Only the beginning here at Martin Malloy and Mick. I thought we'd go around the States. Want to do that?
Oh, yes, please.
Because I've got a little bunch of stories here from everywhere, mostly crime-related.
Okay.
Firstly, from Queensland, we've got the story of Harold and Bev Griffin of Traveston near Gympie. Do we go to Traveston?
Traveston, oh, Traveston, you are really near to Gympie.
Don't know if we're going there, but the Griffins, they're from that region. They're sharing their home with up to 70 farm animals. Mm. Said an RSPCA inspector who visited the joint, it was unbelievable. We found an unweaned calf in the kitchen along with chickens, rabbits, dogs, cats and a possum. A young deer was found in the living room with two goats and more dogs and rabbits. A TV cameraman vomited upon entering the house. I don't think that was anything to do with the animals. The boom mic guy just had a bit too much ass crack showing at the back. Drop below the plimsoll line. The RSPCA may press charges, but the Griffins, want to hear their defence?
Yeah.
They're maintaining the 70 animals are part of a travelling show. Now, when I think of a travelling show with animals, I think of Tommy Hanlon Jr., some elephants, monkeys, and maybe a grizzly bear riding a tiny bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Not, roll up, check out the chickens! Behold, that denizen of the wild, the rabbits! Avert your eyes, children, lest they settle on the raw, untamed majesty of the goat! What kind of travelling show features a possum? If it was a juggling possum or a possum that gets shot out of a cannon. There's something shonky going on here. I reckon these animals, Mick, are illegal immigrants.
I don't like it.
They're coming out here and they're grazing in our paddocks.
I want to know what's going on.
So do I. Those possums are probably using New Zealand as a back door. Those rabbits, they be out here on the family reunion scheme. You know what they're like. Yeah. And the goats, they'd be boat goats, I reckon. Send them back, I say. Now, from Perth, we have the controversy over the Northbridge sex shop that wants to set up 7 individually partitioned, quote-unquote, reading rooms out the back. The council are looking into it.
Are they?
They should get the Newcastle council to look into it. They've got their kind of gear sorted out. But reading rooms at Club X, a well-known literary salon. Excuse me, have you got the black label edition of Oscar and Lucinda? There'll be some serious reading done in them booths, Mickey.
Yeah.
Don't forget your reading glasses, bookworms. Too much reading can affect your eyesight. I saw an ad for Max Walker doing an in-store reading at the Perth ABC shop. That's disgusting.
Oh, please.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Maxie. On a similar note from Adelaide, police swooped on 4 sex shops in the Hindley Street area yesterday, seizing about 2,500 pornographic videos, which cannot legally be sold in SA. Officers will thoroughly examine all the videos before charges are laid. Gee, 2,500. That's a big job.
Mm.
Imagine the dedication an officer would have to sift through all that evidence, Mickey.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be rewarded with a bravery medal? Imagine that presentation. Here you go, officer. For your incredible stamina and commitment to the case, please accept this commendation. I'll just stay sitting if that's all right. Super. Just pass it down. And finally from Victoria, Matthew from Geelong, one of our listeners, has sent us the TV page from the Geelong Advertiser. Mm-hmm. Check this out. Guest critic, Chief Superintendent Laurie Merrigan of the Geelong Police has listed his favourites off the tube. And guess what? He likes the bill. He's given the bill the thumbs up saying, quote, "I like the theme song because I love guitar music." And, you know, the theme from the bill, it is one of the great solos, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
For guitar buffs. Do we know where it originally comes from, Grace? Well, jump, jump. This is right. From the bell. Hello, Superintendent Merrigan. That's human nature. Don't say goodbye here at Martin Molloy. And, Mick, you know we've been talking about Pauline Hanson. We've been making jokes at her expense over the weeks.
Yep.
Finally got an interview with her yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Here it is. Miss Hanson, thanks for your time. It seems to me there's a lot of people out there who really want to hear what you've got to say.
Now, this is what I'm saying. The people out there are very, very concerned what's happened to their country.
Mm.
And they're wanting to hear what I have to say and listen to it.
And we'd love to hear what you've got to say, but this is a list of things we're not allowed to ask you about, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
We've got Aborigines, immigration, gun laws, the budget, media ownership rules, any One Nation policies, politics, world events, general knowledge, your hair and your irritating screechy voice, is that it?
That's it.
Well, that doesn't leave a whole lot we can talk about. Where's the TV week? What about, Burgio. John Burgess, do you think he should grow back the moustache?
I came on to this program with the strict undertaking that this issue would not be discussed by your producer and also by yourself.
Gracie, is that true? Well, we can't even ask you one innocent question about Burjo's Mo.
I feel that you are deceiving me and deceiving the people when I was given an undertaking and now you're going back on your word.
No, we're not. Look, we just...
You have deceived me. I feel this is terribly...
Please, we just want to ask one simple...
No, look...
Miss Hanson, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like to know if you think, as we do, that Burjo has made a major blunder shaving off the cookie duster.
There are more important issues that are concerning me. But you know what? The media and everyone else wants to grasp an issue and make a mountain out of a molehill about it.
Miss Hanson, I hardly think you can describe one of Australia's most famous moustaches as a molehill.
This is irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. Oh. Let's talk about the real issues that concerns people out there. Yeah. Not this. This is in the past. It's gone.
Well, not forever, I hope.
It's not relevant to the people of today.
Well, the media seem to think it's relevant.
Well, then I feel sorry for the media. Let's inform the people out there of the real issues of what's happening to our country. I think it's pathetic that the media wants to continue on down this track.
Miss
Hanson, you know what? It's been political correctness that has made us the way that we are these days.
Oh, I love it when you refer to political correctness, Miss Hanson. Give us one more.
Political correctness.
Oh, very nice. Now, if we could get back to Burjo's moustache...
I'm not going to discuss this issue.
Why not?
Because it's not important. It is not relevant.
But it's the only topic not on your list.
As far as I'm concerned, it's finished with.
Yeah?
That's it. I'm dealing with the more important issues out there.
Right.
And it's a pity that you and other media aren't more...
Concerned
about the real issue.
Miss Hanson, you keep saying it's finished with. Could you say that for us in four different ways?
This is in the past. It's gone. It's not relevant to the people of today.
Oh, that's only two and a half. Come on.
It's something that's happened, but it's finished with. Yeah. It's gone now. Yeah. It's in the past.
Well done. Now, this moustache, what's your problem with it?
This was an undertaking that this issue would not be discussed because it's irrelevant.
But Miss Hanson...
It is not... But it's not the issue is what I'm standing for.
Miss Hanson, what is your problem with Burjo's moustache?
It is irrelevant for what I stand for.
But it is something that concerns a lot of Australians.
This is not concerned. Ask your audience, does this issue really concern them?
All right, we'll drop it. Jeez. Who's your favourite Spice Girl?
No, I'm not going to continue with this.
Mick, I hope you were listening. It was back in the summer of 69, he bought his first real six string.
I know. Don't you thought you were going to tell everyone I was singing along. don't do it.
No, I'll keep that to us. That'll never get out.
Good.
It's Martin Malloy. That was Brian Adams, sporting a Rachel these days, if you have a look. And in the next hour, Glenn Robbins is going to be dropping by.
Excellent.
He's back from overseas. Mm-hmm. He'll have something to say.
Okay.
Prize Dicks will be having a bit of that action. Yesterday we had a man who went spear fishing for other fishermen's bait.
He got himself some bait. You know, he could have gone up to that fish and, like, you know, smashed it in the head with a butt. Yeah. The actual spear gun, I reckon.
He was an artist. He's going to have to be top today, though. So let's not have fishing today.
Okay.
If you've made a dick of yourself, it's your chance to profit from your own stupidity.
Sure.
In the next hour, what else is coming up? Radio Gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're sick of politics, but Papua New Guinea elections are coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
And in the seat of Port Moresby Northwest, there's a fantastic candidate, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to use a rude word. Sound the horn, Gracie. So that sensitive listeners know a rude word is on the way. Papua New Guinea election candidate Ababina has been allowed to run under his business name of Mr. Shit. The chicken manure king has been given the Electoral Commission's blessing to use his better-known moniker on posters. People use other names that they are known as. Why can't I use Mr. Shit? He said during an interview at the Moonlight Disco, which he uses as a makeshift campaign office after the family phone was cut off. The phone was cut off.
Mm.
He was shit at paying the bills, apparently. Bina, a.k.a. Shit, said he was inspired by the Mr. Whippy ice cream vans as a catchy commercial name. Yeah, Mr. Whippy sounds like fun. You know, the kids don't go running out of the house. It's Mr. Shit. I recognise that tune.
Mr. Shit, he wasn't one of those characters in the Mr. Men series of books now, was he?
No.
They were popular with the kiddies.
I think if you were basing on Mr. Whippy, it shouldn't be Mr. Shitty. You should go down that way. But he's actually going to be running, and I think we should follow his campaign with some interest.
Mm. Yeah, we should. Well, you know what they say, Tone. Mr. Shit happens.
So, yeah. So what's he going to do? I mean, will he be? What will his slogan be? Vote one shit, I suppose.
Take a big dump with Mr. Shit.
Yeah. Say yes to shit.
It's time, Papua New Guinea. It's time for shit.
Have we used up our quotient? No, but I think we should follow this because this is bona fide and it sounds like a fantastic case. You know, and we're interested in politics on this program.
Oh, we are indeed. You know when he was at school, Tone? Yeah. That was his name. Every time a kid used that word in the playground, he used to go, present.
This is Martin Malloy.
Martin Malloy, we've finished talking about Port Moresby politics. And now, thanks to Coca-Cola, let's have some of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
There's quite a bit of cat-related news in the paper today, Mick.
Oh?
I think my favourite story is one from Victoria, the Director of Public Prosecutions. There's still such a position, isn't
it? Not for long.
Ah, yes. Anyone who can think for themselves...
Exactly.
...will eventually go. But anyway, he's dropped speeding charges against a cat lover who drove after a car travelling with a cat on its roof.
Mm.
Kurt Sissing, hello Kurt, of Boronia, was booked last year for driving at 115 k's. In a 60k zone, as he attempted to catch up with a four-wheel drive that had passed him with a cat on its roof. Clinging on there.
Cat on a hot tin roof.
Exactly. Is that disturbing evidence of cat surfing, Mickey? Do you think that's going on a lot?
That'll be his next effort. It'll be train surfing, that cat.
How does that happen? I've driven off with a suitcase on the roof of my car. I think we've all done that at some point.
You know what I think he was doing?
Yeah.
I think he'd probably seen one too many episodes of Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just whipped it out like the old siren. Put it on top and thought, I'll get away with it. They should issue those to the police force. It's never light. As soon as there's a chase on. What, a cat on the roof?
A bit of, scratching post to keep it occupied when they stop at the lights, kind of thing. And charges have been dropped, so that's good to hear.
Hurrah!
Another cat-related story, just briefly, is the suspected mafioso in Sicily who's been sent to jail, or he's been, he's obviously been asked to turn himself in. He says, okay, I'll come in. Yeah. If I can bring my cat with me. And the bloke's name, by the way, is Mario Milano. No relation.
Wow, the old wrestler.
I'll go to jail if I can take me trunks. It's not that Mario Milano. It's a different one. And he's taken his cat into jail with him. Or he'll turn himself in on the, the precondition that they let him bring the cat.
You know what he calls his cat?
What's that?
The Mogfather.
Gracie, I said to you, have a boing ready.
Let me have a look. The Mogfather, and there's nothing else on this sheet of
paper.
That's
it. That's
all you've got written down for that.
Where were you, Gracie?
I haven't come up with much either, except, something about files being smuggled in, one of those big chubs of meat. I don't know if we can do anything with that.
It's one of those cats that's always checking other cats for wires.
Okay.
And you know when it kills a bird,
it
doesn't just kind of chase it up a tree and bring it to your door. It runs over it 50 times in a car and dumps the body in the river.
Or leaves it in your bed.
Yeah.
Are we all done?
You'll find birds at the bottom of the bird bath in concrete booties. You just ask no questions and you walk away, T. Martin.
You'll be taking the bird bath.
Forget about it.
Okay. All right, I think we've finished with that, but the reason I mention all this gear is because we often do stupid stuff your dog does on the segment and always angry cat owners saying, what about us? So today we want to hear about stupid stuff your cat gets up to. I've talked about this on the program probably too much.
Yep.
I'm teaching my cat to dance on weekends.
Oh, great.
It's how I fill in my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't broken the record. It's still on the back legs for 22 seconds. That's as far as I've got.
Okay.
Had plumbers round the other day. They wanted a demo. They had a crack at it. They couldn't get it past 15.
I saw what you were doing, Tone, and I like it. But I think you're making it wear its pants too high.
I
really do. I mean, I know that's the look these days.
And it does have to have sex with the furniture within 1 hour of a dance. And the key, if you're teaching your cat to dance, listeners, the key is the music. This is the bit I've been using. 22 seconds. Fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that creating a good mental picture?
Darn. Does it have a little, rose in its mouth or something?
Oh, yeah. And turn! Okay, that's enough of that. What about, Sansi, do you have unusual cat behaviour?
No, I was very young when I when I used to do this, but very young. Yeah. We used to put a sock on our cat's head to make it dance.
To make it stand does up that and
they
work?
Does that work? That's right, that's what they do. Off he goes.
You know,
very nice.
I heard that's how they get Jean-Claude Van Damme to dance. Put a sock on the ghoulies, fire up the music. And he'll dance till dawn.
Imagine if people haven't heard that story, Mick. What are they thinking now?
Do you want me to what? Do you want me to bring them up to speed with the whole Jean-Claude Van Damme sock on the ghoulie scenario?
Let's not go over that again. And please, people, stop faxing in for copies of that picture. We can't run off anymore. Unusual cat behaviour. I'm trying to think what else we've had. I had a cat once that would react to cat sounds on the telly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there would be a cat on the telly and it would react and go up there. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to just tape shows with cats on them and just run them over and over again.
Absolutely.
Like driving it nuts. It'd be dancing in no time. That's one way to do it. I don't know what else. We had a cat that used to get somehow into the ducted heating and sort of was like a crazy maze for it. And if that happens, by the way, people, and the cat gets trapped in there and decides to relieve itself, there is only one option. You have to move. So there's some advice. Call us with your cat behaviour, cat-related stories, cat gear. Have we got a prize?
Oh, look out.
I hope the stereo's not on at home.
The door's opened and a conga line of cats have just marched into the studio.
We've got a six-pack of CDs, including the new one from Dave Graney, The Devil Drives. Don't forget that single, Feeling Kinda Sporty. It's a top listen. It's out now. And the cats go for it like nobody's business. Call us now with Cat Stories, 1-800-657-657. Boy, and it's Radio Gladiators. We're today... We just want to know about your cat. Introduce the cat owners, Mick Malloy.
It's Mike. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's the way, buddy. Tell us about your cat. What's it been up to?
I got a cat that likes to go snowdropping.
Is that his name? Snowdrop?
That's Tina.
And what exactly does Tina do?
Well, you know, a cat sort of turns up on the back door in the morning with a dead bird or a mouse, just tossing it around. But mine turns up with pennies.
Pantyhose?
That's right.
Coming off the neighbour's line, have there been any complaints?
There hasn't been, yeah, but on... What happens when the police turn up and I say it's me cat?
Yeah, good luck, Mike.
Sure. So, and does it drag him straight off the line or does it hang on him for a while first?
Well, I'm not sure.
Swing around.
Go for a bungee. All right. Has it got a bit of a stash? How many pants has it brought home?
Normally about two or three times a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And when it brings them back, has it got them on?
I'll teach it to carry handgun. I can send it in a 7-Eleven for him.
All right. Oh, we don't want a spate of that.
Mm.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I think Angela has a vaguely similar story, don't you, Angela?
Yeah, my cat used to live in a two-story house and it used to go up into my husband's little girl's bedroom and pinch her Barbie knickers.
Barbie? Why was that, do you think?
I don't know, but it was only the pink pairs. It wouldn't touch the white pairs, just the pink pairs. And he used to bring them downstairs into the lounge room and hide them in a corner.
Hide them in a corner, not, as Mick said with the last caller, slipping them on.
These were nice and clean ones. Nice pink frilly undies.
Okay, Barbie stuff. And did you ever catch, you know, playing with the little Barbie accessories? How far did it go?
No, just the undies.
Just the undies. Well, that's what we were looking for.
There you go.
Have we got a non-underpants-related one, Mickey?
Well, let's try Roger. How are you, bud?
How you going, mate?
No, not too bad. What's going on with your cat?
My cat thinks it's a dog. It keeps following us everywhere. So, and when the dogs from the ones from around the neighbourhood come and chase it, tries to bolt through the back of our fence and can't get through and knocks itself out nearly.
Oh, can't get through the sort of crack in the fence?
No.
Right.
It hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah, I saw Amanda Vanstone do exactly the same thing escaping from some students last week. Okay, so it thinks it's a dog. And do the other dogs accept it as part of the group?
No, they hate it.
They're not buying it at all.
That's how it works. All right, thanks, Roger. I think John has an unusual cat. How are you, John?
G'day, how you doing?
Not bad. Where are you? Where are you calling us?
Manly.
Manly. And much cat action up that way?
Yeah, I've got two Burmese cats, and they one sits on the kitchen table, and one sits on a chair underneath the table, and I reach over and tap the one on the chair on the head, and it looks up going, well, what's the big one on top trying to hit me for? Yeah. So it reaches up and whacks the one on top, And the one on top going, well, why are you whacking me? I haven't done anything to you. So it whacks it back, and, and I just bait the fight.
And then it's on!
It's a cat fight!
And then it's on!
Yeah, it's on.
And you're just standing there like Mean Gene Oakland at the wrestling doing a commentary?
Oh, no, I'm just pissing myself laughing.
And do you get your friends around to bet on this?
No, I haven't. Not yet. That's a good idea.
I'll be there. All right, good luck to you. And I think Dylan also has a cat that's up to no good. Dylan, what's happening?
I used to live on a farm in Pukekaua. Mm-hmm.
And
our cat used to bring home dead animals. Right. I don't know whether he killed them themselves, but one day he brought home a piglet.
A piglet! La, la, la. Really? How big was this piglet?
It was about 2 foot long. It was bigger than the cat. It was half the size more than the cat.
Did you see it dragging it up? Do you think it used a trolley?
No, it was pretty big, though. He must have got his I don't know whether he got his friends to help him, but that he brought home...
He did. He had a help in that. They had a hog tied to a pole, and there was a cat on either end.
But we got the cat from the farm down the road, and they used to call the cat Freddy, and apparently he'd brought home, like, roosters... Rabbit. He brought home a rabbit to them.
Car parts.
The Midnight Marauder.
Anything.
From Pukekaua Pussy.
Okay. Oh, God. Bringing home a piglet. I like it.
Wowee.
Have we got, finally, Matthew. Matthew, cat behaviour?
Yes, my cat's actually a Tonkinese cat.
Yeah?
And it just meows. It's got this really high-pitched meow. And you feed it to keep it quiet, and it will constantly eat and eat and eat until I can't eat no more. I'll go off and I'll be sick on the carpet.
Oh, okay. Bulimic, do you think?
Pardon?
Is it bulimic?
No, it's not. You know, no, it's not. It's quite fat, actually. It's not supposed to be that fat, these cats. It's supposed to be quite thin and athletic. But this cat's, like, quite fat and just eats and eats and meows and meows. You feed it and it just throws up.
Right, have you got it there?
Yeah, I have, but it's around here somewhere.
Okay, Matthew, see if you can get some sound out of it.
Okay, I'll try. I'll try and squeeze it hard enough.
Okay.
It'd be nice to hear a cat hurl on radio.
Nothing illegal.
No, of course not.
Okay. Here we go.
It's
Tonkinese, remember?
Mm. Yeah. No, he's probably gone. I don't know. He was here just a minute ago, but...
Yeah. Okay, tell you what, hold the phone up towards it and we'll see if we can get a dancing, Gracie. Is that having any effect at all?
No, it's not coming at all.
Nothing at all. It's probably out the back regurgitating right now. Yeah. We've caught it at a bad time.
Probably still in the neighbour's cat's food.
Okay. Well, there's a selection, Mick. Which one are you going for? We got Mike stealing pants, Angela stealing smaller pants, Roger can't get through the fence, thinks it's a dog, John, distracto games, we got Dylan, piglet, Matthew... Won't shut up.
Oh, I like any cat that can bring home a thumping big piglet. Correction. There's absolutely no question of the fact.
Hey, are you still there, Dylan?
Yeah, sure am, boys.
Oh, you'll be dragging home this six-pack of CDs. See what your cat makes of that. They love the Dave Graney, the felines. Thanks for taking part. Thanks to everyone who had a cat today. And we'll be back in the next hour with Glenn Robbins.
This is Martin Malloy.
And in this hour, we'll preview the biggest development in jeans since the Amco Bogart. We'll roll out the prize decks. And next up, Glenn Robbins returns to Martin Malloy. Thanks to Coca-Cola. Hey, it's Love Fool from the Cardigans here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. In case you missed the first hour, we had Dancing Cats. We had cats that retrieved dead piglets.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bogus interview with Pauline Hanson. We had a Papua New Guinea politician whose name we're not allowed to use again. And, of course, the Susie Moroney cigar-smuggling furore.
I think we've covered it.
Okay. Who have we got now? Our guest is here. This bloke, he's a writer, actor and comedian, and he's just back from making a documentary in Hong Kong because Hong Kong's fast approaching the use-by date.
Mm-hmm.
So get in there now and film stuff while you can. You might remember his performance in the film Ricky and Pete. He was about 70 or 80 down in the credits, listed as newspaper foreman. It's Glenn Robbins!
Nothing gets past you, Tony Martin. Not one thing at all. I reckon...
Were you in Houseboat Horror?
No, I wasn't.
I'm getting through all your film credits as you come in, Glenn. What was your role in Ricky and Pete?
I played, I think, some sort of newspaper executive, and I had to nod and walk past the camera, and I did it bloody well.
Was it as good as your Evil Angels?
Evil Angels was, hey, Dahl, this guy's a dickhead, come and have a look. So on my show reel, which runs of films, it runs about 15 seconds, so I'm pretty happy with it.
All right. We must find some more for your next visit. Mm. Now, Glenn, we were mentioning cats. Do you have cats?
I've got a Burmese.
Oh, yeah.
And he likes to sit up on the rim of the toilet. No, he actually, he's like a dog, and he drinks from the toilet, for one.
Yeah.
And likes to sit on the rim of the toilet while you're doing your business. So there's hell to pay. Oh, and once you're committed to doing the bizzo, and the cat, oh, get out of the way, oh, the cat's jumping up and down. And he also...
Hang on a sec, but do you return the favour if it's out? Because they hate that. They hate that. Suddenly
now
they can't do
thought.
It.
There's a thought. Well, I come out of the shower, and I'm standing there, and, you know, he looks up at my, you know, a man business, and he gets a funny look on his face, and I'm sure he's going, I know it's not a bird. No, it's not a... It's not a. It could be a guinea pig, could be a mouse.
Oh, yeah. I'm going for it. Hang on. Yeah.
I know I left something that looks a little similar to that in the front doorstep last week.
What is that? Is it? All right. Okay, enough of the cat.
Sorry, enough about that.
Okay, you finally come down to our level. Good on you, Glenn. Now, what's this Hong Kong? What have you been doing?
Oh, look, I've been over there shooting a documentary for The Changeover, which is...
right.
I think Changeover, it sounds a bit weird.
It is a changeover.
Some sort of breast in thing, you know.
Well, exactly. The lease has run out and the new owners are coming.
And I was over there for doing a little bit of a documentary lead up to The Changeover, which I think is on the 1st of July, and just sort of getting a vibe in the street getting a feel for it, so it was good. Yeah, I don't think it's going to change that much. I think it's going to be pretty much the same. It's going to be like a mini experiment for the Chinese,
ish.
Sort of, you know,
right.
Without getting too heavy. But the thing is, on the 1st of July at about 10 o'clock, the British Army moves out, and at about 2 in the afternoon, the Chinese Army moves in, so there's a bit of a window there. So I reckon we get a few mates, a couple of burning sticks, a few rocks, we can take over Hong Kong
for 2 hours. We'll own that town.
Yeah, all right.
And what Chinese year is it at the moment? Is it year of the rat still?
Rooster dog.
I think it's the financial year of the rat at the moment. That always confuses me.
Yeah, now I went around and I did a few things. I did a bit of your Tai Chi.
Oh yeah.
In the morning there with some old people in the park, and I returned the favour. I taught them something that was, you know, helped us relax. I did a bit of macarena with them.
Oh, yeah, and a bit of a cultural exchange.
Yeah, and a bit of hokey-cokey, then finish off with a conga line. And I think they appreciate it.
Did it help their spiritual well-being?
It was funny because we're doing it for the doco for fun, and I'm teaching the guy how to do the macarena, and I look across, and all those people had stopped doing Tai Chi and were seriously going, macarena.
It's an ancient art.
Just like the ancient art of boot scooting.
Oh, never thought of that.
There you go.
And what else? I went and had a suit made. Now, I went to the place where all the stars go.
Yeah.
All the stars. So you've got your David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they appreciate it, because I walked in and I said, I know David Bowie, you know, gets his suits here, made here and stuff, you know. And I've gone, when he comes, does he get plenty of changes? And I think he appreciated it. And John McEnroe was up on the wall, you know, and I said to him, oh, the suit was good, man. The suit was good. You know, and I think I won him across fairly early.
And then the tailor went, oh, Macarena. Everyone went home happy. So I'm guessing this isn't a real serious doco, Glenn.
Not at all. Well, sort of. But, you know, we're just sort of having a bit of a look around, getting a vibe, you know.
Yep.
Went to a shop called a snake shop.
Yeah.
Where they sell live snakes for recipes. Now, I don't know how many times I've been at home making a nice rice dish and it says, add your own snake and where can you find one?
You can get those 1.5 lolly snakes.
went to a coffin shop. It was just a shop on the street that sold coffins.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a bit of a word in the guy's ear there. I said, because I want to up business, have you thought of a 2-for-1, you know? Have you thought about both dying the same week, get a better price? Have you thought of an IKEA version with Allen keys? See, I'm spreading the good word in Hong Kong.
Any pictures up in the wall, Glenn? Any chance for some cheap jokes at that
famous
establishment?
Did he die here? Really? Now, I went down to bird market, and that was a bit upsetting because they've got this massive bird market there with all these millions of birds and these little cages. And I was very upset because I wandered around for about an hour or so, didn't see one mirror, didn't see one little ladder, didn't see, you know, one piece of cuttlefish. So, you know,
it was obviously fake.
Yeah, obviously. And I did a bit of gambling. Mm-hmm. I went to, have you heard of the Happy Valley races?
No.
I mean, gambling is huge in Hong Kong.
What's the Happy Valley race?
That's the big race course. It's the only legalised gambling, I believe, in Hong Kong.
Well, that's why it's so
everyone
popular.
Does it.
Yeah, right.
A billion per night. One billion per night.
Yep.
The fascinating thing is, because you know how short jockeys are in Australia.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong, like, they're just really, really short. Like, they're, you know, like the ones that Mum has on the mantelpiece. You know, really, really tiny.
They're very tiny.
Yeah.
Now, Glenn, we had to cut in, but we do have some musical commitments to go to. Do you want to stick around for another break?
Oh, I'd love to.
Let's do that here at Martin Malloy. It's the commitments here at Martin Malloy. Glenn Robbins is here, and we rudely interrupted you. Glenn,
no, that's fine. But I was telling you about the fact that they like gambling and what they do illegally. regularly is they like to bet on cricket fighting.
Cricket fighting in Hong Kong.
As in the insects. Now, I'm a big fight fan. I know you guys are big fight fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And nothing better than watching a couple of crickets beating the crap out of each other. They get those...
Fight, come on.
Those hind legs going. They're kicking the crap out of each other, you know. Because I'm a big fight fan, I got there early for the weigh-in. they were cruiserweight crickets. Unfortunately, they couldn't weigh them properly because they kept on jumping off the scales. But got to the big fight, and at the start of the fight, cockroach comes out with a bikini on, holding up the round number. And, but that was stopped in the fourth technical knockout. Actually, one bit the other one's head off, and the referee had to call for the mortine. So it did get a bit ugly.
Yeah. And do they go for the little scary costumes?
there were some characters in there. Yeah.
Would you see a cricket in a scorpion costume, for example? That's very scary.
Yeah, yeah. You got the big, you know, got the manager coming out. Okay. And, you know, he was a big rat and everything.
All right. Now listen. Yeah. When's this documentary? When can people see it?
Well, it's being made independently, so it hasn't been sold yet. So you never know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, the networks will pick it up, and we get to see it soon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be mad not to.
It'll be old news after the 1st of July, so hopefully...
Oh, no, you'll be sitting on gold then. It'll be a historical document.
Oh, I see.
That's the way to do it.
Oh,
yep, yeah, top dollar. Yeah. Top dollar, okay. Glenn Robbins.
Clever boys
sit
here.
On that.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of telly, I know you're a big cable buff. Mick and myself haven't got into the cable TV yet. Last time you were here, you were... when you were talking... Was it Glenn who was talking about the nudie channel?
I've got the nudie channel. And I'll give you a bit of an update. Some of the programs I've been seeing on the nudie channel.
Yes, please.
Nude Activities is one of my favourite ones. I don't know what it's called, but they just do stuff in the nude. And it's great. That like this one was, they did a bit of abseiling, and then they did a bit of marlin fishing. A bit of marlin fishing in the nude. Then my favourite, a bit of scuba diving in the nude. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm feeling a bit frisky, thinking about a girl, nothing turns me on more than thinking about a girl and an aqualung. And, you know,
a white belt.
Especially when the aqualung's just off the shoulder a little bit, you know. And those flippers, baby.
And you've got to do the backwards sort of entry into the water too. That'd be a bit unpleasant.
Yeah. That all sounds fine, Glenn, if you're into a bit of adventure. But, you know, do they have stuff like, you know, returning a video in the nude? Something a bit more up my alley.
There's this one show where a whole lot of people. You remember Pan's People?
Yeah.
They just, it's like a white site, and they're all in the nude, and they just roll around doing Pan's People with hankies throwing them around. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a whole world that people
then
don't
realise. Then you flip over to the Italian channel, and you got your nude Sale of the Century thing jumping around there.
Colpo Grosso.
Yeah.
That's great. Because we've talked about this before. It's just Sale of the Century for a while, and then suddenly their clothes fall off.
Yeah. I've got an idea for a TV show for Australia that I think is not stupid, and you'll agree with me when I say this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I've had a bit of a rash lately.
Oh,
and I'm
you?
Thinking, when are we going to have a celebrity version of Good Medicine? You've had your celebrity side, your celebrity will. I want to see, you know, up after the break, Glenn Ridge shows us his nasty lump, you know. Halifax FP's got some ointment when you're travelling or something, you know. Why don't they do the Nikki Buckley birth? Now, we've seen a lot of it. Why don't they do it live? Why don't Good Medicine go in there with a truck outside the hospital, have updates and reports, you know?
I think you're right. Channel 9 have gone this far. They've got to go all the way with that.
Oh. Sure, the Nikki Buckley birth could be covered on Animal Hospital with Eden Gahar.
Do you reckon when they say, you know, they're asking if she wants some drug, do you reckon she's going to get some Think Music?
And will Pete Smith be playing a role? All right, enough of that. Okay, well, Glenn, thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure.
Hang on a second. You're not going to leave yet, are you? We haven't done Prize Dicks. Want to stick around for that?
I'd love to.
Let's have some of that on Martin Molloy. That was Here at Martin Molloy with Say You'll Be There. And I think it's time for Pete to say something.
It's time to play Prize Dicks. Have you made a dick of yourself lately? Maybe you've showed up at an AC/DC concert dressed like one of the Pet Shop Boys. Perhaps you've unthinkingly asked Helmut Kohl when the baby's due. Or maybe you're just the leader of the One Nation Party. Whatever your tale of woe, Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to turn dictum to triumph and bag yourself a prize in the process. Okay, lads, bring forth the dicks.
Shall do, Pete. Glenn Robbins is with us, just back from Hong Kong. That's where they're having the premiere of this film, The Lost
World. There's actually a bar there called The Lost World, and it's a whole lot of different theme bars in the bowels of Hong Kong, and you go from, you know, safari to, you know, karaoke. There must be about 50 private karaoke rooms in there.
And are people good at it over there?
Oh, they're the best. Yeah. You know, when it comes to karaoke, you know, they have got it down.
Did you get lured up?
No, well, you go into a private room. You can do your own. It's like a little booth, and it's all sort of padded and pillows.
Do
and
your own karaoke.
Karaoke, just okay. The two of you. Oh, it's a bit weird.
Are you sure that's what it was, Glenn?
I think it was.
Okay.
Hang on a second. What the? Oh, no!
A lost world bar, you say? What's that guy? It's like a mechanical dinosaur in the corner that you ride.
Come on, fella. You've had enough. Off you go.
The velociraptor.
Yeah.
Now, have you made a dick of yourself, though, Glenn?
I think this qualifies. I was in the city the other day late for a gig in a car park.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running out, and the sign said lift, or and there was the stairs. Instead, said someone said only use stairs in the case of emergency. Mm. So I've run down the stairs, thinking, "Oh, look, I'll be fine."
Yeah.
Get to the bottom. Oh, door's locked. Go to run back up. Locked myself in the bowels of the car park, late for a gig, trying to get the outside door open. I'm near Chinatown, so I jump up on the outside door, and there's a little window like this, so I'm poking my face through the window. Two Chinese people get out of their car, and they don't speak English. I'm going, "Help! Help! Help!" They've just got a horrible fright, because they don't speak, like I'll be saying, "I'm going to kill you," or something. Run off, and I've had to sort of, you know, kick the door down Serpico style and run off with my heart beating into Chinatown. It's like it was a movie.
Now, these are the sort of misunderstandings I think Pauline Hanson's on about.
Oh, I agree. But imagine a face at the window going, "Help me, help, I'm stuck in the bell, come on, help me." They ran off. Out the door.
Well, I mean, I was down walking down the street one day with our old buddy, Russell Gilbert.
Oh, yes.
And he was standing above a grate, you know, one of those grates that just, you know, come out of the pavement. And he stood there for 20 minutes looking at the grate going, "It's all right, we've sent for help, we'll be back shortly." Now, just 20 minutes later, there must have been 50 people standing around the grate.
Fantastic.
While Gilbert. It's all right, we're going to talk you down.
And then he flipped the switch and his dress blew up like Marilyn Monroe.
He's always doing
that.
It's
an old trick of Gilbo's. I'm just looking, because we're always looking for prize sticks. There was a great article in the New Idea this week, because I was doing research for the show. Dannii Minogue is going to come back from England and live in Australia because she's sick of people recognising her in the street as somebody from Home and Away. No. She wants to be known for her more recent work.
Which is?
Anybody?
Give me a second.
It's something.
It's Dannii Minogue from the nude pictures. That's what she wants people to say. So, you know, if she comes back here, make sure you say that to her.
Yeah. Love the nude work, Danny.
That's right. What about prize sticks? What about our listeners? Mm. Have you made a dick of yourself? We've got a Lost World pack, and you'll go into the draw for that trip for two to Hong Kong. You'll see the Lost World itself. You'll be the first to see it on your street. And then afterwards, take Glenn's advice, pop down the Lost World and get shit-faced. Call us now. Tell us how you made a dick of yourself. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Say, look, I'm not interrupting anything, am I? I mean, you two being newlyweds and all.
Brought to you by...
Everybody!
Yes, that inexplicable behaviour tells us it must be time for prize dicks here at Martin Malloy. Glenn Robbins is with us on the panel. He's met a few prize dicks, worked with a few, I'm imagining.
Eyeballing a couple right now.
Yeah, okay, let's get things underway. Who's going first, Mick?
I think it's Cherie, is that right?
Yeah, that's me.
Excellent. Cherie, we've got you on board. It's not for nothing. We want to know how you made a bit of a dick of yourself.
It was a shocker. We pulled up at KFC, I think it was. It was pouring rain.
Mm-hmm.
These young guys have pulled into a parking spot, and I've said, "Look at that. They've parked in the disabled spot. How cruel can you get?"
Yeah.
"Come on, girls. Let's go tell them off."
Right.
Walked over. I said, "Boys, what are you doing? How can you be so inconsiderate?" Couldn't give them enough. Kept telling them off straight. My friend's going, Cherie, trying to tell me something. I'm going, "What are they talking about?" Anyway, and I finished, and I'd said what I wanted to say, and I turned around, and I fell flat in my face in a pile of mud. The guys laughed and then realised that it wasn't a disabled spot and continued to laugh.
And were you disabled by the accident, making you eligible for parking priorities?
Practically, yes, I was.
Oh, dear.
Cherie, that was me in the car. I'm glad to see you fell in the mud. I was very upset.
He's still laughing about it now.
Yeah, you have to run straight inside and grab some of those moist towelettes from the counter of KFC.
Oh, that's a 200 moistened towelettes job, that one.
It is indeed.
Thanks.
All right, Cherie, you hang in the line there. You could get a prize out of this, but not before we speak to Matthew. Are you there, Matthew?
Yeah, g'day. How are you guys?
Not bad. Are you behaving like a dick?
Yeah. A while ago I was.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went to an engagement party with a girl.
Right.
And we're driving down the street, and I've seen the house and all these people going in with presents, and I naturally thought that was the house. So I walked in and walked in through the lounge room, and there's old people there, and I put the present on the table they had there, and grabbed a drink and went outside and sat in a way to everybody and realised I was at the wrong house, the wrong gate, touching down the road.
And had you had so many drinks then that you just didn't bother about going to the other one?
Yeah, I kind of, because when I went to the other one, I wanted to go back. The first time was a lot better.
Matthew, that was my engagement party.
Oh, look!
You really are a dick.
This is an incredible coincidence.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. All roads lead to Glen Robbins.
Well, we've got a pair of dicks, so I think we can make it a triple play as we speak to Kerry. You there, Kerry?
Hello, yes, how are you?
What have you done, Kerry?
Oh, my goodness gracious me. Oh, a couple of years ago, there was this product on the market, and it was supposed to be a Wonder tablet, and you took it, and you'd get a tan. Yeah. So what happened was, it was coming into summer, and me and my girlfriend thought, oh, we don't want to go out in our lily white pig legs.
Right.
So we thought, we'd go and get some of these tablets. Anyway, we got them, we read the instructions. Apparently, you're supposed to take one tablet for 4 weeks over a period of 28 days.
Okay.
We thought, no, that's no good for us, we want a speedy tan. So we took 4 tablets, so we thought we could get a 10 in a week. Anyway, it was okay for the first 2 days, and then what happened was, we went to bed, and I woke up, and the next morning I was orange. I'm talking bright orange, like amber traffic light.
Orange.
I rang my girlfriend up and saying, Rhonda, what colour are you? What colour are you? And she said, I'm orange, what are you going to do?
Oh,
anyway, we had to go to work, so we get into work, and everyone's looking at me really strange, and I had to say that I had a generic skin disease.
Oh, yeah. That old one, yeah. That one Michael Jackson's been pulling for a while.
It's just not me like that. It took about 2 weeks to return back to about normal colour.
Not as bad as me, Kerry. I used some of the cream and I used too much and I got burnt.
Exactly. That's going even further. Yeah. And how orange were you, Kerry? Were you as orange as Larry Hagman in Dallas? That's always the standard bearer.
I think I was oranger than that.
Okay, that's wow. All right, let's see if Lee is orange. Are you there, Lee?
Yeah, mate, how you going?
Not bad. What's happened to you?
Well, I was out on this fishing trip. There was 10 of us out there out of the reef there, fishing off the side of the boat, and this guy hadn't caught a fish, you know, for the last 2 days.
Okay.
So he's catching this coral trout, and he's just, as he's about to put it inside the boat, his false teeth, he got so excited, his false teeth fell in the water.
Right.
So anyway, about 10 minutes later, I'm about three blokes up from him, and I caught a fish, so I got my false teeth out and hung it in this fish that I'd caught. And I said, "Mac, here's your teeth."
And did he buy it?
He just picked them up and went, "No, they're not mine," and threw them in the water as well.
Yeah, two prize dicks.
Yes.
Tane, I was fishing once and I caught someone's false teeth. And you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I put them up above the mantelpiece. You know, like fishermen do with the shark jaws?
It's fun to just put them in the fish's mouth.
That's always fun.
I had it up above the mantelpiece, and I just used to stand in front of the mantelpiece smoking a pipe.
Party, Kerry, suntan tablets, Lee, teeth.
I reckon orange people are always dickheads, so it goes to Kerry.
Orange people.
Orange people.
Are you there, Kerry?
Yeah.
It'll be orange tablets for everybody around at your place.
I'm Paul N. Hanson's best friend.
You just give us one of her catchphrases.
Come and see me at the fish and chip shop. I'll be able to tell you all about it there.
Not bad at all. No, I'm not going to talk about that right now. That's always good. Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Yes, I have actually.
Well, you'll be able to watch it over and over. You've got the VHS. That's part of the Lost World pack. But the good news is you've gone into the draw for that trip to Hong Kong, going off this Friday.
How good is that? That's excellent.
Okay, thanks for taking part. And Glenn, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Glenn.
See you, buddy.
And we'll be back with more dicks, possibly orange, possibly spattered with mud, possibly without teeth, possibly at the wrong place tomorrow here at Martin Molloy. Bruce Springsteen's Secret Garden here at Martin Molloy, and last week was Fashion Week and we were parading all the top labels here. That's almost time for us to go here at Martin Molloy. A few theatre pointers, because there might be some theatre buffs. Mm. In Adelaide, certainly, if you're looking for a bit of top theatre, opening tonight at the Black Swan is one of our all-time most interesting guests, George Sheftsoff.
Okay.
He was the DJ in that film Love Serenade.
Yep.
He came in here. He broke everything he left.
He's a wacky funster.
And he's starring in Diary of a Madman, which is a topper to work.
The Diary of George Sheftsoff.
Nah, he's great, but he's...
He is. It'll be a brilliant production.
He's just hyperactive.
He loves it. He's full of beans. He's got ants in his pants.
So get down there at the Subiaco Theatre Centre.
Yep. And another bit of theatre news, Team Martin, I believe, a station we've just taken on up there in Karratha. Howdy, all.
Are we starting on Mondays? It's still going there, is it?
Yeah, they're hanging in there. And at 6KA, and I believe hitting town tonight is a West Australian production of Siren, which is a beauty. I've seen it myself. So if you're not doing anything, get along.
As we must point out, it's Siren in the singular.
Siren in the singular. Oh, yeah.
Anything else? Just a bit of TV news, just before we go. Do you remember when we had Bob Spears, the director of... somebody else, Frank Skinner,
yep,
was in here. He was talking about Fawlty Towers, somebody else entirely. And he was telling us how when Fawlty Towers went to America, when they bought the rights to it, they decided, they did some research, and they found out the character of Basil just had to go because he was too negative.
Yep.
He wasn't likable enough.
That's right.
And, of course, Manuel had to go because he was too ethnic.
That's right.
It was just, the whole place was run by Sybil.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it again. They've bought the rights to Cracker. We all love Cracker with Robbie Coltrane.
Brilliant.
They've decided American audiences aren't ready for Cracker as played by Robbie Coltrane.
Right.
It's a bit rough around the edges. So they're making a few changes. They've got Robert Pastorelli. You know, is he Murphy Brown's boyfriend or something?
Yeah.
The sort of decorating bloke in the overalls on Murphy Brown. He's playing Cracker. They've decided that he doesn't need to have a drinking problem because that's bad. He doesn't need to be addicted to gambling, because that's a bad example of the kiddies.
No.
And he doesn't have to have a bad temper like Fitz on Cracker, because you don't want that in a hero. And so, but they have given him a driver's license, so he can drive a car real fast.
Oh, dear. Why don't they just replay Eight is Enough? Surely.
And then, you know, Penn Halligan, the fantastic character in Cracker.
Yeah,
Miss Penn Halligan is not sexy enough. She's being played by someone altogether more glamorous. The daughter of late screen stunner Jane Mansfield will be playing the Penn Halligan role. So what's that going to be? It's just going to be Silk Stalking. Why did they bother buying Cracker? Are they just going to bugger it up?
Exactly right. Dear, oh dear.
Who would be, if they bought Martin Malloy, which could never happen, but for American television, it would be Scott Baio.
And who else? John Goodman.
Okay. All right. So look out for that. Just how many good shows can they destroy? Anyway, we must go.
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza is Cracker.
The guy off Full House. It'd be Martin Malloy.
What about our guests? We must thank him. Glenn Robbins, all our gladiators, and Prize Dex. We'll be back tomorrow, thanks to Coca-Cola. And Andrew Gaze, he's never been on the show before. He'll be coming in.
Great.
To sink a few hoops, or whatever it is they do.
You're going to have to bone up overnight,
I'll do some research. And I know it was Peter Costello's budget speech night before last. A lot of people missed it, Mick.
Mm. Yeah, it's a pity that.
And I know it got a bit boring towards the end, but did you notice he pulled this fantastic trick out of the bag to keep people interested?
The savings...